the Allegiant picture, the theology and the spirituality and the devotion of the Allegiant picture. Before I go into that, I'd like to mention, first of all, that some of you are asking how long I've been juggling for, and I taught myself in college. My sister gave me a book called Juggling for the Complete Klutz. It's a great book. It comes with three bean bags, so I taught myself how to juggle, and then worked my way up to machetes, bowling balls, tennis rackets, fire torches, basketballs, baseball bats. And so I do these things to attract the attention of the kids, and then I try to teach them lessons from the catechism and stories of the saints. That's what St. John Bosco used to do. Somebody told me the story of a juggler who had machetes in his back seat of the car, and he went speeding down the highway. So a police officer pulled him over by the side of the road and said he's going to give him a ticket. And then he noticed these weapons in the back seat. And so he told the juggler, why are you carrying these dangerous weapons? And the fellow says, they're not weapons, that's my juggling equipment. And the police officer didn't believe him. So he said, get outside the car and do the juggling for me. So by the side of the road, by the headlights, this man is juggling these machetes, and the cars are driving by on the highway. And as one car passes, the husband turns to his wife and says, honey, remind me never to drink and drive. I could never pass their new sobriety test. So I've been juggling now since college days. That's about a long time ago. I was at Christendom College from 1982 to 1986, and then Mount St. Mary Seminary from 86 to 90, and I've been ordained 8 years. I've been in the Legion 25 years. My sister Adele and I joined August 11, 1973. I was 10 years old, a little junior legionary. And even when I was a junior legionary, the Legion picture always fascinated me. I would oftentimes, while we were sitting at the meeting, I would look at this picture and try to figure out what everything meant, because there's so much beautiful symbolism and rich theology in the Legion picture. Frank Duff called it a picture of extreme beauty and inspiration. It was painted by a young Dublin artist, a brilliant young artist, who really, in this one picture, reflects the Legion spirituality, Legion theology, and the whole devotional outlook of the Legion. And I also believe that all the Legion prayers can be found in the picture. The opening prayers to the Holy Spirit, the Magnificat, the Catena, and the concluding prayers are all reflected in this one picture. So this picture tells a lot about the Legion. And it's important when you give this to auxiliary members or to active members that you take a few minutes and explain some of the things that I'll share with you tonight about the Legion picture. For example, when we at the Legion meeting, the first thing we do is we kneel down and we pray to the Holy Spirit. We invoke the Holy Spirit and say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Now the Holy Spirit plays a very prominent picture, very prominent role on this Legion picture, because the Holy Spirit is hovering over the Blessed Mother. So what we see first of all is the Annunciation, the moment of the Incarnation, when the Holy Spirit hovers over the Blessed Mother and she conceives the Word of God in her womb. So this picture really emphasizes the most important event in history, the greatest moment when God became man, the moment of the Annunciation. And because God became man in the Blessed Virgin Mary, we call her the Mother of God, the Mother of God, because the child she gave birth to is Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and God. So this picture reveals the Holy Spirit hovering over the Blessed Mother at the moment of the Annunciation, and then Mary saying yes to God. Her open arms reflect her obedience, her fiat, her saying yes to God. We also see our Blessed Mother in this picture, I believe, as the mother of each one of us. Because notice her arms are open. Like a loving mother, her arms are open to embrace us. And we know that when Mary accepted the Word of God within her at the Annunciation, not only did she accept to become the mother of Jesus, but she accepted to become the mother of each one of us. And so she became our mother at the Annunciation. And so Our Lady's arms are open. showing that she loves us, she wants to lead us to Jesus, and she wants to embrace us in her motherly love. We also see in the picture Our Lady as the mediatrix of graces, because this is the image that Our Lady showed us when she appeared to St. Catherine Laboure when she gave the miraculous medal back in 1830. Mary had her arms open just like the statue of Our Lady of Grace. And out from the image of her hands came rays of light, which represented the graces that Jesus won by his death on the cross. And Mary is the channel, the mediatrix of these graces to the world. So when we see Our Lady's arms open like this, it reveals Our Lady as the mediatrix of grace, the channel of God's graces to the world. We pray in those opening Legion prayers for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us as the Holy Spirit came down upon the Blessed Mother at the Annunciation. So every Legion meeting becomes a little Annunciation when we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Also, we pray, enkindle in us the fire of your love. We pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit. You'll notice in the Legion picture, our Blessed Mother is surrounded by fire, representing the flames of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire that came down upon Pentecost. We pray that the Holy Spirit will again renew the face of the earth. As the Holy Spirit renewed the face of the earth 2,000 years ago through the Annunciation, we pray that the Holy Spirit will use us to renew the face of the earth today. And we also see the Holy Spirit not only in the dove, but and in the flames surrounding Our Lady, but we see the Holy Spirit in the red halo. Everybody see the halo around the Blessed Mother's head? It's red to represent the Holy Spirit. See, normally the Blessed Mother's color is blue, like when she appeared at Lourdes and Fatima, she was wearing blue. But in the Legion, we see Our Lady enveloped in the flames of the Holy Spirit and having a red halo to symbolize her unity with the Holy Spirit, that Our Lady is one with the Holy Spirit. Also, in regards to the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit hovering over the Blessed Mother could represent Pentecost. Remember that Our Lady was there at Pentecost. She was present both at the birth of Jesus and the birth of the Church. Isn't that appropriate that the Mother of Jesus would be there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down upon her and the Apostles and the Catholic Church was born, or confirmed, as they say. They say that the Church was sort of born on Calvary when our Lord's heart was pierced, but the Church received the sacrament of confirmation at Pentecost. Just like we're born and then baptized, but then when we get confirmed, we get an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the Holy Spirit hovering above Our Lady also not only represents the Annunciation, but represents Pentecost as well. And so every Legion meeting becomes a cenacle of prayer where we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Apostles gathered with the Blessed Mother, so we gather at every Legion meeting with our Blessed Mother. We gather together with her, we pray to the Holy Spirit, and we ask her to send us the Holy Spirit. Frank Duff says that it was Mary's prayer that drew the Holy Spirit down to earth. It was Mary's prayer that prepared the hearts of the Apostles for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Apostles were ready, the Holy Spirit came down upon them through the prayer of our Blessed Mother. And so then they were filled with the apostolic fire of love to go out and to renew the face of the earth. And that's what we're called to do. From every meeting, we're sent forth to go out and renew the face of the earth. The tongues of fire came down upon the Apostles. We won't see those at the Legion meeting, but we do pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and guide us so that we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit to go forth and to spread the gospel. Pope Pius XII said it was her powerful intercession that obtained for the newborn Church the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the Pope himself, Pius XII, says it was Mary's prayer that drew the Holy Spirit down to earth at Pentecost. And so she can give us the Holy Spirit at our Legion meetings as well. So we need our Blessed Mother to give us the Holy Spirit so we can go out and renew the face of the earth. So we see that the opening prayers to the Holy Spirit are very well reflected and mirrored in the Legion picture. What about the Catena? What about the Magnificat? Where are these in the Legion picture? Well, if you look around the border, you'll notice some Latin words. There's actually three verses from sacred scripture around the border of the Legion Tessera. This is actually called a tessera, which means a token of membership. This is like your membership card, just like a Visa or a MasterCard or a BJ's Wholesale Club or Shoppers Food Warehouse. I don't know if you have those up here. But you need a card to get into these places to use your Visa. You need to have a card. You can't just say, well, I don't have these things. You need a membership card. And that's why these are not given out just to anybody. These are only given out to active and auxiliary members. Because if you have one of these, it means you're a member of the Legion of Mary. Oftentimes when people pick me up at the airport, if I don't know them, if I'm going to give a retreat, they'll hold up the Legion Tessera. And then when I see that, I know that there, that's my ride. And so it's very helpful if you don't know somebody, like if you're picking them up somewhere at a train station or a bus station, hold up a tessera, and that's the symbol that you're a member of the Legion of Mary. Somebody that I know was once pulled over by a cop. He was going a little too fast, and as the cop asked to see his driver's license, he opened it up, and the police officer saw his tessera, and because of that, he didn't get a ticket. So I encourage you always to keep your tessera nearby. Because the police officer happened to be an auxiliary member of the Legion. And so when he saw the tessera, he knew it was among legionaries. So the interesting thing about a tessera is that originally in the Roman days, it was a big stone, about this big. And they would have carvings on the stone that they would chisel out. And that was usually like the family seal or the family coat of arms. And then they would take this stone and they would break it into maybe 20 pieces, and then every member of the family or club or organization or society got a little piece of the rock, a piece of the stone, so that when they all came together, everybody would bring their tessera, their little piece of marble or piece of stone, and they would put it together. And that would form their whole clan. And really, that's what we do at the Legion. All of us belong to the Legion. So when we come together, we all have our tessera, we have our prayer card, and so we know that we're brother and sister legionaries. So the catena is represented by the border, because the word catena in Latin means a chain. And if you notice, there's a chain that makes up the border, and every one of those circles is a link in the chain. Did you know that? If you look closely, those are links that go all around the border. And that represents how we're all united to one another when we say the catena each and every day. And we would want to make sure that as active and auxiliary members, we always say that prayer, the catena, which is comprised mostly of the Magnificat, each and every day. We should say that every day, because right now, as far as we know, there's about 6 million active members throughout the whole world, and as many as 20 million auxiliary members. So out of 25 or 26 million people, we don't want to be the one to break the link in the chain which now encircles the whole world, starting with our Blessed Mother, who was the first one to sing the Magnificat and to pray the Magnificat. De Montfort says it was the Holy Spirit that composed the Magnificat in the Blessed Mother. And so we don't want to be the legionary to neglect to say our catena, because we might be, out of 26 million people, the only one to break that link in that beautiful chain of grace that goes around the whole world. So what we see here is the catena is represented in the chain, and also it's represented in the fact that the antiphon we pray, who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army, set in battle array. And all those characteristics of the Blessed Mother are represented in the tessera, because we see the Blessed Mother coming forth as the morning rising. And we see this in the star that's on her forehead. If you look closely, some of your tessera might not show it too well, but a large tessera will show a star on the Blessed Mother's forehead, representing the morning star, representing the fact that Our Lady is the dawn of salvation. Jesus is our salvation, but the birth of Mary is the dawn of our salvation. So we see the morning star, Mary coming forth as the morning rising. Also in the background, you see behind the Blessed Mother, there's like blue, and it looks like it's brighter at the bottom and darker at the top. That's the morning rising. That's the dawn. So it represents Mary coming forth as the dawn, and she's as fair as the moon. If you look closely at the face of the Blessed Mother, she's peaceful, she's beautiful, she has a peaceful expression. She's as fair as the moon. Our Lady is the most beautiful woman God ever created, the most beautiful creation of God's grace. And then we see Mary as bright as the sun. And that's what she shows here, coming forth wrapped in the fire of the Holy Spirit, coming forth as bright as the sun, filled with the light of the Holy Spirit. And then we see her as terrible as an army set in battle array. And Our Lady is leading forth her troops, and she's set in battle array, coming forth. So we see that Our Lady is bathed in the beams of Christ's redeeming grace, the graces that Jesus gives us by His passion, death, and resurrection. So Our Lady is this beautiful antiphon, coming forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, and to Satan and his legionaries, terrible as an army set in battle array. We also see the Magnificat present in the picture. Because if you notice, above the Blessed Mother's halo, look for the words Magnificat Anima Mea Dominum. Everybody see those? That's Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord." So the Magnificat is right there in the Legion picture, in letters of fire. A lot of people don't realize that, but the red letters are actually letters of fire representing the Holy Spirit. Now notice, the Blessed Mother magnifies the Lord. The Blessed Mother does not get in the way of us coming to Jesus. What does a magnifying glass do for you? It helps you see things better, helps you see things clearer. That's what the Blessed Mother does. She's a magnifying glass to help us see Jesus better, to help us see His divinity and His humanity. Just like your glasses. If you wear glasses, they come between you and me, but they help you to see better. That's like the Blessed Mother. Some people think, well, other denominations say, well, she gets in the way of getting to Jesus. Not at all. She's like your glasses. Do your glasses get in the way of seeing other things better? Not at all. They help you actually to see things better. And so the Blessed Mother is the magnifying glass of God. She helps us to see Jesus better. We see the Blessed Mother in her Magnificat showing forth that her soul actually magnifies the Lord, and God chooses the humble to do great things. She says in the Magnificat, He has chosen the lowly and raised the lowly to high places. So it's our Blessed Mother's lowliness, her humility, the fact she was the slave girl of the Lord, that God chose her to be the Mother of God and to shine forth that beautiful song of praise called the Magnificat. Then we see the prayer, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee, also on the Legion picture. See, at the Magnificat, at the end of our catena, we say, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee. That is the prayer of the Immaculate Conception. By the Immaculate Conception, we mean that from the first moment of Mary's existence, she was seen and was created without original sin. God preserved her by the merits of Christ from being tainted by original sin. And we see this in the fact that she's crushing the serpent. Everybody see that? Our Lady is stepping on the serpent, which shows her immaculate conception. All of us come into this world with original sin, except for our Lord and the Blessed Mother. And because of that, Satan has no dominion, no domination over our Blessed Mother. That's why she is crushing his head underneath her feet. So when you see the statue of the Blessed Mother crushing the serpent, that's called the statue of the Immaculate Conception, or the statue of Our Lady of Grace. And this goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God says, I will put enmities between you and the woman, God is speaking to the devil, between your seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head while you snap at her heel. Now, if you look at the Lesion picture, you'll notice the Latin words. If you look at the left-hand side, halfway up, starts one of the quotations. And this quotation translates as, I will place enmities between you and the woman. Some of the key words are ponam, means I will place. Inter means among, you is te. Mulieram means the woman. Semen is the seed. For example, a seminary is where a young man goes to have the seed of his vocation be nourished. Semen is seed, and your seed, her seed, and she shall crush thy head. Contraret means crush. Caput, everybody see the word caput? That means head, like capital punishment, capital sin, or if somebody goes kaput. You know, so Our Lady says, Our Lord said to the devil that he would put enmity, hatred, total separation between the devil and the Blessed Mother, between the devil's offspring and the Blessed Mother's offspring. Well, the Blessed Mother's offspring is Jesus, and also each one of us. All of us are spiritual sons and daughters of our Blessed Mother. So what we see in this scripture quote is the Blessed Mother as the woman of Genesis. And notice that the word woman appears four major times in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, when God tells Satan he'll put enmity between him and the woman. Also, at the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus says, woman, what is this to me and to thee? In referring to Our Lady at the wedding feast of Cana as woman, he's referring to her as the woman of Genesis, the co-redemptrix of grace. And then we see at the foot of the cross, Jesus says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Again, referring to her as woman. And then the fourth time we see it is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, when Jesus, actually the Blessed Mother, is seen as the woman clothed with the sun and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So there's a whole theme throughout, from the book of Genesis through Revelation, and in John's Gospel as well, John chapter 2 and John chapter 19, of Mary being the woman who would help to crush the head of the serpent. So we know that the Blessed Mother's seed is each one of us and Jesus. And we're called to be the heel of the Blessed Mother to help crush the serpent. Now it says that the serpent will strike at the heel. So we have to expect some persecution, some difficulties for doing the Blessed Mother's work. But notice also that the Blessed Mother is crushing the serpent and crushing his head. So even though the serpent will strike the heel, that's not a deadly blow. But stepping on the head is a deadly blow. And so the Blessed Mother is advancing with her legionaries and crushing the head of the serpent. And notice that the evil souls, the bad people, are at the bottom. Everybody see them at the bottom? And notice that they're falling back because the Blessed Mother is advancing. And so what this shows us is the world of souls, the good souls and the bad souls. Those that are trying to get to heaven and those that are leading other people to hell. And we see our Blessed Mother leading forth her legion, crushing the head of the serpent, the mediatrix of grace with open arms and the channel of God's grace. Then the other scripture quote that we see around the border is in the bottom right-hand corner. It begins, Mulier ecce filius tuus, ecce mater tua. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Again, mulier is woman. Ecce means behold. Filius means son. Like Philadelphia means city of brotherly love. So filius means either brother or son. And mater is mother. And so this is the word spoken by Jesus when the Blessed Mother was at the foot of the cross. And so the Blessed Mother became our mother in a public way. She accepted motherhood of us at the Annunciation. This was publicly confirmed at the foot of the cross, when the Blessed Mother was declared our mother by Jesus himself. And John was the beloved disciple, and John represents each one of us. Now the concluding prayers are also seen in the Legion picture. We've seen the opening prayers, we've seen the Catena and the Magnificat. What about the concluding prayers? Actually, the concluding prayers are more like a commissioning prayer. Just like at the Mass, at the end of Mass, we're sent out to evangelize. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. At the Legion, we're also sent out as well. So really, the concluding prayers are the commissioning prayers, when we're sent out to convert the world from our Legion meeting. And what we'll notice in the concluding prayers, that these are found throughout the whole picture. For example, we see the innumerable host of legionaries following the Blessed Mother, advancing in battle array, under the queenship of our Blessed Mother, carrying the Legion standard. Just like at the Acies, we carry the standard and we carry the banner of our Blessed Mother. And you see the legionaries are carrying the Legion Vexillum and the Legion banner. And the Vexillum is modeled after the Roman Legion. The Roman Legion used to have an eagle. We replace it with the dove of the Holy Spirit. The Roman Legion used to have a picture of the emperor. We replace it with the miraculous medal. And then it shows that the Roman Empire wanted to conquer their empire for Caesar. We conquer it for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit using Mary to bring Christ to the world, to try to conquer the world for Christ. So we serve beneath the standard of Mary. Now notice what the legionaries are holding. They're holding two things. Can you look at that? The rosary and the crucifix. And this is a prediction that St. Louis de Montfort made way back in the 1700s. He says that the soldiers of the end times, those in Mary's Legion, will have a crucifix in their right hand and a rosary in their left, and the sacred names of Jesus and Mary in their hearts, and the modesty and mortification of Jesus Christ in their behavior. So those are our two weapons, the rosary and the crucifix, representing our love for Jesus and his passion, and our love for the Blessed Mother in her rosary. So these are the weapons that we use to combat the forces of evil. But what are the weapons that the people of this world are using? They're using shields and canes and swords. Those are earthly weapons. They don't stand a chance compared to prayer, compared to the rosary and the crucifix. That is what is going to win the battles, is prayer. Love for Jesus and love for the Blessed Mother. And then what we see also in the concluding prayers is we pray for faith. The word faith appears 5 times in the concluding prayers. And we even pray for a faith that will be like a pillar of fire. And in the Old Testament, it was a pillar of fire that led the Israelite people to the Promised Land. So who's the pillar of fire in the picture? It's our Blessed Mother. She is that pillar of fire that leads us to Jesus, that leads us to heaven. In the Old Testament, God sent the Israelite people a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night to protect them and to guide them. And St. Alphonsus of Liguori says that the pillar was a prefigurement of the Blessed Mother, who is our protector and guide, leading us to the promised land of heaven. And then we see the Blessed Mother's faith. And this is the last scripture quote. It's in the bottom left-hand corner of the prayer card. Beata quae credidit. That means, blessed is she who believed. And it represents the Blessed Mother's faith that was said to the Blessed Mother by her cousin, St. Elizabeth. See, Zachary doubted God, but the Blessed Mother believed. And so Elizabeth praises the faith of the Blessed Mother. Blessed is she who believed. And in the concluding prayer, we pray for faith. Take a look at the concluding prayer, just for a moment. One thing that I recommend is that when you're saying your Legion prayers, when you're saying the concluding prayers, open up your tessera like this, okay? When you see confer a Lord on us, just open up the back, actually the front flap, so you can see the Legion picture. And whenever you say your concluding prayers, look at the picture of the Legion tessera. Because what you'll see is this prayer come to life. In this prayer we pray to Jesus. See, we pray to the Holy Spirit at the opening prayers. We pray with the Blessed Mother to God the Father during the Magnificat. And we pray to Jesus in the concluding prayer. So we pray, first of all, for a fullness of faith. This means the Catholic faith, which has the fullness of faith. We don't want to just have some of the Christian truths, like baptism and the Bible. We want all the truths. We want a Catholic faith that has all the truths. And we pray for the fullness of faith and also for trust in the Blessed Mother. And then we also pray for a lively faith. We say, grant us a lively faith animated by charity. Charity is the soul of our apostolate. That's what St. Paul says, that if you have faith to move mountains but had not love, then we are nothing. So the heart and soul of the Legion is love, is charity. So we pray for a faith that will be animated by charity. See, faith without charity is dead. Faith without works is dead. So we want to do everything out of love for Jesus. We pray for a lively faith animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and to see you and serve you and our neighbor. That's part of our job, is to try to see Jesus in everybody that we visit, in the hospitals, in the prisons, on door-to-door. We pray for then a faith, firm and immovable as a rock. We want our faith to be so strong that it cannot be shaken, cannot be moved, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. There will be suffering. There will be difficulties. There will be crosses. But we pray for the grace to endure these and to offer them up and to unite them to Jesus. And then we pray for a courageous faith, which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. So we pray for the fullness of faith, a lively faith, a faith animated by charity, a firm faith, and a courageous faith. And then a faith which will be our Legion's pillar of fire, which will lead us forth united. Notice how all the legionaries in the picture are side by side, in united in order and discipline. And that's what we're called to do in the Legion. Through our obedience to the Legion system, we're called to go arm in arm, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, to extend the reign of Christ. And this is what we're called to do, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love. See, every one of us has faith. Our faith is like a flame, like a torch. When we meet somebody, we're called to pass on that faith to other people. You'll meet people that are living without faith, but you can pass on your faith to them to enkindle in their hearts the fire of divine love, and then to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death. See, we meet people all the time that are living in darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of despair, the darkness of all sorts of difficulties, and we're called to bring the light of Christ into their lives, to enlighten those in darkness and in the shadow of death. The shadow of death means those who are near death, those that if they died, they would be lost. We're called to reach out to them and to bring them the light of Christ before their death. To inflame those who are lukewarm. So we meet so many people out there in the church that are lukewarm, that don't go to church very often or at all, and we're called to enlighten them and to inflame the lukewarm, and to bring back life to those who are dead in sin. We'll meet people in the state of mortal sin that haven't gone to confession in 5 or 10 or 20 years. We're called to bring them to confession, to bring them to the sacraments, to bring back spiritual life, the life of sanctifying grace, in those that are dead in sin, which will guide our own feet in the way of peace. So if we do all these things, then we'll be led in the way of peace. you can't spend your whole life bringing people to God and lose the path yourself. If you are doing all these things, then you will be walking in the way of peace. So that the battle of life over, and life is a battle. Life is, we're called the church militant. Remember? The church suffering is in purgatory. The church triumphant is in heaven. But we are the church militant. We're fighting a battle for souls, our own soul and the souls of others. The battle of life over, our legion may reassemble. God willing, all of us will one day be in heaven. Active and auxiliary members and all the people that we meet, God willing, will one day be reassembled in heaven without the loss of anyone. Isn't that a beautiful expression? Without the loss of anyone. There was a sister, Sister Engelinde, a beautiful old German nun who was in her 90s. She was spiritual directress of six Presidia. And what got her in the Legion was that one verse. She found a copy of the Legion prayer card, and she says, boy, without the loss of anyone, I want to belong to that organization that's hopefully not going to lose anybody. So without the loss of anyone, in the kingdom of thy love and glory. And then we pray for the souls of our departed legionaries, active and auxiliary, and the souls of all the faithful departed, that through the mercy of God, they may rest in peace. So we pray for faith in the concluding prayer. And this is mirrored in every line, in every part of the Legion picture, where the legionaries are mustered shoulder to shoulder, millions of legionaries in eternity. Those are the ones way in the background, the legionaries that have gone before us, Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, Alfie Lam, and all the Legion martyrs of China, and all the other legionaries that have gone to their eternal reward. One last thing that people don't realize is that if you turn the tessera upside down, you'll see a chalice, okay? Notice, look at it from this distance, and you'll see, just look at the white part. See the chalice, and you see the host? Who wants to put himself in the place of God? The devil. And so what the devil wants to do is to turn things upside down. That's what Lucifer wanted to do, right? Lucifer wanted to be like God. He wanted to place himself in the place of God. And that's what he wants to do, to turn things upside down so that in the chalice, he is where Jesus would be. He is where God would be. But in the Legion, it's this way. He's being crushed under the Blessed Mother, under her feet. And I'm sure he doesn't like that, to be crushed under a humble virgin of Nazareth. He, the greatest angel that God ever made, is being crushed by a Blessed Mother, a mere human being, preserved from original sin. And so I think that this Legion picture contains so much theological truth and beauty. It contains all of our Legion prayers, our Legion spirituality, of going forth as an army set in battle array. And we pray in our prayers, and in our concluding prayer especially, that none of us will be lost, that we will all persevere in our Legion membership, and that I believe the Blessed Mother will lead us to Jesus and lead us to heaven. And I think that just in this Legion picture, we see Our Lady as a queen, as the Mother of God, as the Mother of each one of us, as the Mediatrix of Grace, as the Immaculate Conception, the New Eve, the Spouse of the Holy Spirit, the Woman of Faith, Queen of the Holy Rosary, and Queen of the Legion. And so this picture is one of immense beauty and doctrine. So I encourage you to reflect upon it and to explain it to all the active and auxiliary members. And when you have a guest at the meeting, explain it to them as well. And let them know that they're called to be part of that vast Legion of Mary, those legions of soldiers, active and auxiliary, that are going forth to crush the head of the serpent and to extend the reign of Christ. God bless you.